And let your word go forth on good ground, that we may bear much fruit, Lord God. We stand in need of a word from you. Lord, we stand in need of your word. Help us not just to be hearers, but to be doers, even as your word goes forth. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
All right, 3, 6, 8. Speak, O Lord.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness. Let the light of Christ might be seen today. In our acts of love, in our deeds of faith, sweet, O Lord, and fulfill us all your purposes for your glory. Speak to us, Lord, obedience, holy grace. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise does not rise to thee. Your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail. Let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Choose unchanged from the dawn of time. That will echo down through eternity, and by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
So we just thank y'all once again for just allowing us to come out here and just spend time with us. And also us spending time with you all and just loving on you all and caring for you all. And I know during the COVID, it's been, you know, pretty bad that a lot of people couldn't visit and just couldn't spend time with you all and many different things like this. And we're just here to love you all. So let's go into prayer.
Dear Lord God, we just thank you, Father, for just allowing us to just be here today, to be able to just talk about your word and be able to just come together and just talk about your word, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you pierce the hearts of many here today and even pierce my heart, Lord God. Mm-hmm. Make it clear and convict. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 So if you have your Bible, you can turn to John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8.
For it's a 6 days before the Passover. Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas, Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to put what was into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me."
The title of today's sermon is "The Value of the Author of Life."
Mm.
The truth of today's message is that you must honor Jesus Christ as the Son of God and believe in Him in order to have eternal life. John shows us readers or listeners the insight of Mary's heart and of Judas' heart. The author of this book was an apostle that was alongside Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry, which the name I just said was John. He wrote this book from an evangelistic standpoint, pointing people towards Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Just to go a little bit into the background, chapter 1 through 10 talks about Jesus' early ministry on earth while performing miracles that he is I am. So that's a well known statement that is in the Old Testament in Exodus of God saying that he is God over Israel. He used those miracles to build up the unbelief of the church that later sets up for the later books in the book. In chapter 11, Mary and Martha sent someone to tell Jesus that their brother Lazarus was ill. Jesus knew that it was for his glory so that he could be glorified as the Son of God. Martha and Mary showed signs of unbelief upon Jesus' arrival. Martha removed the tomb, and Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. This good news spread to cause many to believe and for the religious leaders to plot to kill Jesus Christ. He leaves to go to a town called Ephraim that was like near the wilderness. Now in chapter 12, Mary of Bethany anoints Jesus' feet. So looking at verse 1 says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So we see here in just the beginning of verse 1 that this is the beginning of Jesus' last week leading to the Passover of his death. Second, we notice that, of course, Jesus went back to Bethany. Bethany is near Jerusalem, which is 2 miles off. So Jesus realized that it is his last hour, so he offers himself freely so that his enemies can capture him. So to add on to this, this was a farewell visit for Jesus to comfort Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and many others that were reclining at the table. So in verse 2, it says, so they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table. So the ones who gave him the dinner was, of course, friends whom Jesus loved that was mentioned in the previous chapter, in chapter 11, verse 5. The dinner was made for friendship, and it was made for fellowship with Jesus Christ to have a conversation with him.
Looking at verse 3, Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair.
This brings us to our first point, that Mary honors Jesus. So to honor something or honor someone means to show a high level of respect or to accept someone or something as important.
So we see a few ways here that Mary honors Jesus. One way is that Mary sees the value of Jesus Christ over the ointment. So Martha was serving, Lazarus was at the table with Jesus, but Mary decides to use a pound of expensive ointment made of pure nard on Jesus' feet. The fact that she used a pound of costly perfume, then wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair, showed that she loved and respected Jesus Christ. Due to the amount that was used, it made a loud scent throughout the house. We see in a couple of verses down in verse 5, Judas see that the nard is worth 300 denarii, and that's a whole year wage. A year's wage is a lot, right? Many would say, yeah, that's a lot for some ointment. But we see in the text that Mary didn't care about the worth of the ointment. She saw that Jesus was worth more than the ointment.
Amen.
Most likely more than anything in life.
Mm-hmm.
For Christ taking upon the wrath of God for the world, many of us are ungrateful if we think that any service like this is not worth it.
Wow.
So I have a couple questions for you today. Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you have a high level of respect for Jesus Christ? What actions are bagging up to the previous question I just asked? What do you value the most right now? Whatever you value, is it worth more than Jesus Christ? Maybe you're at a point in life that you're older and you do not value anything right now. You could probably care less. Well, think about death. Because the day you die is better than the day you are born, which is mentioned in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. Because we are just passing through here on earth. Our true destination is either heaven or hell. Everybody not going to heaven. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, he's saying, you can enter true life only through the narrow gate. The gate to hell is wide, and there is plenty of room on the road that leads there. Many people go that way, but the gate that opens the way to true life is narrow. And the road that leads there is hard to follow. Only a few people find it. So think about it. Many people walk this earth for years and die and go to hell. They die and go to hell not even believing in Jesus Christ. Wishing they can come back and relive their life by believing in Jesus Christ. Would that be you? Also, we see that Mary is a worshiper. In biblical times, people wore sandals or went everywhere barefoot. So when the owner of the house had company, it was for the servant to wash the feet of the guest. So Mary did something similar, but it was with pure ointment. The ointment was, Mary used a normal routine and turned it into a sacrificial worship.
Wow. Good.
The ointment was probably for her own use, but she neglected her own desires for Jesus Christ. We see the first thing Mary does is give praise to Jesus. Mary submits and draws near to Christ and spends time at the feet of Jesus. Only believers know to praise Jesus like Mary did. Only believers know to praise Jesus outside his glorified body.
this was an outward demonstration that Mary believed deep in her heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that he is the head of her life. If it was all because she bore witness that he was the Son of God through what was done to her brother Lazarus. She knew that Jesus was the one to give life. And came to die for his people's sin. Jesus not only allowed for her to experience his grace, but he showed that grace by being in his God. She became a part of God's plan because of the saving faith in the Son of Lamb. The Son of Lamb alone and the word of grace. Today, this very same principle is applied when God saves a person and he gives you the free gift, which is the Son of God. And you get to be a part of his plan for humanity. This brings us to our second point. Judas did not honor Jesus. There are several ways that we see that Judas did not honor Jesus. It clearly say that Judas was going to be the one who was going to betray Jesus. In chapter 13, verse 21 through 27, Jesus mentioned to his disciples that one of them was going to betray him. The author of this book leaning back, asking Jesus who it was. Jesus replied, saying that when he dipped the morsel of bread, and whoever he gave it to is the one who was going to betray him. And he gave it to Judas. The whole time Jesus knew who it was who was going to betray him because of his sovereignty over all things, and he's all knowing. If you look at Matthew 26, Judas have given the high priest and the enemies a sign by giving Jesus a kiss. So Judas kissed Jesus and then traded him for 30 pieces of silver. So Judas basically demonstrated with his actions, Jesus, my teacher, I love you, but I love my sins more than I love you. People, this is what is demonstrated when anyone or everyone reject Jesus Christ or decide to love their sins even tighter than Jesus Christ. At times, this is even us believers in Christ, when we pick our sins over Christ. Judas' sin was more important to him than Christ. We see in verse 5 that Judas was dealing with this same problem in the heart before he even betrayed Jesus. The sin just grew stronger and stronger and consumed his body like a wildfire. This issue was never addressed in his heart. And this is a man who claimed to be a follower of Jesus Christ. How? When he was too full of pride to address the sins in his own heart. What does this tell us today? Judas was never a true believer. He was just in a mix or just in the crowd, basically pretending to be a Christian like the majority of the world. Go to church. Get baptized, be in leadership, say your grace, and then be well known in church. Those things are important, but when there is no sign of Jesus Christ's lordship over your life, you are trying to work yourself into heaven. So have you been wasting your time pretending to be a follower of Christ in your life? Are you just a professing Christian, keep your tongue confused with your heart? Are you betraying Jesus right now? Are you thinking right now that you never betrayed Jesus because you are a good person? Folks, whatever's in the heart, it comes out. And many are spiritual blind to their own actions. The heart tends to trick a person into assuming that they believe in Jesus Christ when there is no true fruits shown. So this takes us to the next point. That Judas saw the value of the ointment over Jesus Christ. He didn't even see the significance of the favor of what Mary did. In verse 5, Judas questioned why the ointment wasn't sold and given to the poor.
His response showed us that he covered the dislike of the situation. In the question, there was no care at heart for Jesus Christ. You don't see nothing about Jesus Christ in the question. He felt that it was a waste of money. The eyes of his heart was focused on the value of the ointment alone. Also, we can feel the emotions in this verse from Judas. Mary's actions towards Jesus strike the selfish heart of Judas because of his own selfish desires. Judas was disgusted by what Mary did for Jesus. The eyes of his heart couldn't even let him see that Mary, what Mary did to Jesus' feet was important. This same action taken by Judas shows the heart of man before elected by God. He didn't respect Jesus Christ like someone out here today. This man was going around claiming Jesus, but didn't even love him. If he did, he would have seen the value of the ointment over Jesus Christ. I mean, he would have seen the value of Jesus Christ over the ointment. The question put out here today is, do you know Jesus Christ and not just his name? Did your heart ever undergo change for Jesus Christ? Do the eyes of your heart allow you to see the truth and grace that is in Jesus Christ? Or are you just sitting in the spot right now just stubborn and don't even understand anything that the Spirit is saying to you right now? Folks, if you do not know Christ, repent and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the Son of God, who God put all authority and judgment in his hands. So this brings us to the last point of the second point. Judas was a thief. Verse 6 tells us the hidden truth of Judas' heart, or why he asked the question in verse 5. He didn't care about the poor. He often stole money from the bag to help himself. Jesus had him in charge of the money. He was robbing Jesus and thinking he was getting away with it. He was sneaky, selfish, greedy, and a liar. Therefore, Judas was of his father, the devil. He was doing the will of his father's desire. Pastor Thomas asked me a great question the other day, and it was, why did God have Judas in his plan and in charge of the money if he knew he was going to steal? He did it to use Judas as an example of giving him the wicked desires of his own heart. He faced the judgment of God that he wanted for himself. We all see where the desires of his heart led him. It was to destruction, into eternity in hell. Judas ended up killing himself and dying in his sin with no true repentance and not turning towards Jesus Christ. If you was in front of the Lord tomorrow, would you would have died in your sins with no true repentance and not turning towards Christ? Would Christ be saying, "I never knew you, depart from me"? If no, could your heart be grabbing every little good thing that you did in life to con you versus telling you the truth? Examine your life right now at this moment, because this is God's mercy upon anyone who doesn't know Christ here today, so that you can believe in the Son of God to receive eternal life. So this brings us to our final point. Jesus defends Mary in verses 7 through 8. In verse 7, Jesus responded to why the orphan wasn't sold for 300 denarii. Jesus defended Mary by saying, "Leave her alone." Basically, don't stop her. Stop persecuting her. Notice when he was persecuting Mary, Judas was persecuting Jesus as well. There was anger inside the heart of Judas. So he murders Jesus with his own heart, inside his own heart. Similar story in the Luke Gospel of the sinful woman who washes Jesus' feet. while Simon the Pharisee murdered Jesus in his heart. This comes to the question, do you have murder in your heart against Jesus? Could you truly have murder in your heart towards the one who truly loves you and wants the best for you? Looking at verse 8, Jesus Christ answered, why was it not given to the poor? It says, for the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Christ was heading towards the work of God's saving plan that was near. As it is written in Luke 17, verse 22, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and his disciples about the coming of the kingdom, he said to his disciples, the days are coming when you would desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you would not see it. There is no money worth the expense for what's to come. There will always be it will always be a broken world with a time to minister and express God's love to the poor. Jesus wanted Judas or any listener or reader to know that the presence of Jesus and serving him during his earthly ministry will not be repeated. For us, we should value Jesus while we are here on earth. Because when he calls us one by one for judgment, life cannot be repeated. So people either rejoice now or they regret later. So this brings us to the conclusion of the sermon. That what these two have in common, Judas and Mary, is that they are both sinners that were in need of a Savior. They were in the same boat. We all in the same boat. We see the separation of the seed described in Genesis 3:15. The seed of the serpent, which is Judas, and the seed of the woman, which is the same as Christ, which is Mary. One experienced the grace of God through believing in the Son of God, while the other experienced the wrath of God. So today's application question is, so are you Mary or Judas in this story? It's best to humble yourself and to evaluate yourself closely now, because your time on earth might be near. If you don't, it might be too late for those mistakes on that day when you are face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can fool humans, but you can't fool Christ. He will reveal the secrets of all men's heart or people's heart upon Judgment Day. His name will be glorified or uplifted either now in life or when he judges you. So either you accept the good news that God has brought forth to you at this very moment, or you deny it. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we just thank you for just giving not just a great sermon, but a helpful sermon, Lord Jesus Christ. We just pray that you just counsel the heart, or you just pierce the heart of me and even myself, Lord Jesus Christ. If anybody do not know you, please bring them to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Marlon Council 45. Well, but once again, we just really appreciate y'all for just having us out here. And, we love you all. That's all I can say. We love you all, and we're here to just help spiritual as much as possible. We just really appreciate you.
Thank you.